Okay, so here we go. This is the second rambling stream of consciousness that I'm gonna be doing. The date is actually now, it's Friday, May 31st. It's 1:30 in the morning. Apparently, that's when I'm gonna be doing all my ramblings, is early in the morning. Because I don't have any normal schedule like normal people. Go to sleep at a normal hour and go to work in the morning and do all that crap. I don't do that. I don't have a job. Well, I guess I have a job. I mean, it's basically whatever I want to do, and so I've been afforded a pretty good life so that I don't have to actually do anything. You know what? That's another problem though, because what happens is when you don't have anything to do during a particular day, you really don't do a whole lot, and it kind of gets on you. It makes you feel kind of like a bum sometimes when you don't do anything. Like, let's talk about today. Today I had an idea. Well, we'll rewind. Yesterday I had something going on. What did I do? Oh, I had a really great shoot yesterday. Yeah, I met because Avon Adams, actually her name is well, I won't say what her real name is because she goes by her stage name. Anyway, she's a burlesque dancer or performer. I don't know what she wants to go by anymore because I think she's a little fed up with the whole burlesque thing, just like I am. But whatever. So, her friend Vita, no, yeah, Vita von. Dita? Vita, I don't know. Anyway, and then this guy, Ted, who is a sword swallower, and then another guy named Anton. He is, I don't know what he does, but maybe fire? Magic. He does some magic. Anyway, so the four of them, we met out at Daytona Boardwalk, and we took some old-timey pictures and some really cool stuff out in the arcade area there, and very, very cool. Anyway, so they were pretty happy with those pictures as well. Anyway, when I got done with that, I came home and I got some brake pads, the correct brake pads, because Pep Boys kind of sucked, and the guy making $6 an hour behind the counter there, he didn't care. He was gonna give me what. That's a long story, and I'm not gonna get into it, but. So my plan today was that I would change my rear brakes because what's been happening is I now have 160,000 miles on my Acura. And holy crap, has that been a good car to me. I mean, honestly, the best car I've ever owned. Maybe not my favorite car that I've ever owned. Because I think that goes to the Miata. I had a 1995 red Miata, and go ahead, I'm gay for having it. But if you're a guy and you think my Miata is gay, especially the older ones, not maybe the newer ones are exactly the same driving experience. But there were a few Miata body styles in the middle there that were a little not like cool. The original body style was small and light and low to the ground. You sat up kind of high. It was almost like an old British racing car, racing. What do they call those? Just convertible, I guess. Whatever. I think there was a name for it, but yeah, like a convertible that doesn't actually have a top. I can't remember what those are called. But anyway, So yeah, that was driving, man. You felt everything, and the power steering was tight, and really wasn't that much power assist. So you could feel the actual driving, the turning, and you could feel every bump and every time you hit the brakes. If there was something wrong with the brakes, you could feel it. If there was something wrong with the gearbox, you could feel it. It was just really nice, great car that felt a lot faster than it was. And it wasn't great for, say, driving to Miami or anything like that, but I took it on some longer trips, and it didn't kill me. But anyway, I was really sad to have to let that car go, because after, gosh, I think it was 110,000 miles. Maybe not even that much. Maybe it was 80. I don't know how many miles I put on that fuckers, but, you know, I had to sell that thing for, I think it was like $2,200, which was so sad, because I'd like to believe that I can predict, or I can start to feel when a car is going to start costing me money. And I felt that way with my old car. I had an old Saturn. I felt like it was going to start costing me a little bit of money. So I got rid of that to get the Miata. And then, when I bought this Acura, I got it in 90, excuse me. I got it in 2002. Yeah, I bought that car in November of 2002. Beginning in November, I kind of bought it for myself as a birthday present, but also because at the time I was dating a girl and she had two kids, and occasionally I had to take them places, and it was not real safe, but I put them both in the passenger seat of my Miata and I would drive them places, and it was really a stupid idea, because I think they were either 5 and 7 or 6 and 8 at the time. Probably 5 and 7. So this retarded woman put these children in my care, and I then strapped them into a single front seat of a convertible with no roll bar cage or anything like that. Just, you know, just a regular old convertible. So, you know, and that's so stupid. But anyway, so it was important for me to get a car with four seats in it so that I could take them places and stuff like that. Because that was a relationship that I didn't know if it was going to go for a long time or a little time or what was going on. So I just decided I'll get a car. So like an asshole, I got another sports car. Yeah, but kind of lucked out, because it was a hatchback, or it is a hatchback. I still have it. I mean, it's 160,000 miles, and I got to tell you about this car. I mean, this car is ridiculous. Just recently, let me go back. So I bought it brand new. I think it had 7 miles on it when I picked it up, and let's see. Here are all the things that have happened to that car. So 160,000 miles in 11 years. Here's what's happened. The driver's side window motor broke. So I had to replace that. I could do that myself. The CD player broke, but that wasn't really anything. I mean, it was a tiny little gear that just broke, and fuck it. I can't even replace it because it's Bose. And Bose is fucking retarded, because Bose is smart. They make smart things, and they make things that sound good. I'm not gonna bag on Bose, because I actually have a pair of Bose 301 loudspeakers in my living room, and they are, I believe, 30-year-old speakers, maybe older, I don't even know, but I should look that up one day. Anyway, they were hand-me-downs from a guy who I believe got them as a hand-me-down back in college in the 90s. And I used to DJ the parties at the fraternity that I was in. And I used these speakers, and I turned them up pretty much as loud as they go. And whew, we had some crazy parties. And I try to blow them every single party, because I wanted to make everybody have a good time. And, you know, apparently the louder your stereo is, the better the party. So, you know, you turn it up. And anyway, so for about 4 years, I tried to break them by doing these parties, and I couldn't do it. And since then, they have performed and done everything I've ever wanted them to do. I've had some parties here at this house and turned it up and couldn't break them. And so, look, I mean, and one of my favorite things was a Bose little speaker that you would plug your iPhone into or iPod or whatever. And that sounded really good. It was a little portable thing. So Bose makes some good stuff. Now, the problem is when Bose puts shit in a car, it's not like they have a Bose head unit and then they have Bose speakers where the head unit would drive the speakers and then everybody's fine, because that would be great. Because if you wanted to change out the head unit or if you wanted to change out a speaker, that, it'd be easy. But no. If you want to change out the head unit in a Bose unit, too bad, because the Bose speakers have amplifiers in the speakers. So if you wanted to change something out, you have to change the entire system. And I looked into it once and I wanted to get like some decent stereo put into the Acura over there, and it was going to cost me like something retarded, like $3,600 to do everything that I wanted to do back in, I don't know, 2008. So I didn't do it. Apparently, I'm just going to wait until this car explodes, and then I'm going to get a decent car with Bluetooth and all that crap and play on my phone anyway. So I'm rambling on about something that's very boring, and I apologize. So we'll just continue to move on. So the window motor broke, and I replaced that. And then the CD player didn't work. And then I did lose the compressor for the air conditioner, and that was a fun day. Actually, that was a horrific day. I think it was July, maybe June. I'm driving along. I think I'm leaving work. I worked at the wood shop at the time, and clunk. I literally heard and felt the damn thing go, and I'm like, oh, that was weird. And then all of a sudden, this moist air started coming out of the air conditioning, and I thought, that's not good either. I'm pretty sure I knew what exactly what happened, and I was just trying to play with myself, jack off, thinking that maybe it's just it kicked off and it's going to kick back on. Well, no. So I decided to try and drive around that way for exactly 35 minutes, the time it took me to get home, and I thought, no, this is not going to happen. I'm not going to be able to make it through a summer in Orlando with no air conditioning. So I think it was probably the next day I had to take it in, and they took that thing out and they showed it to me, and they're like, damn, we've never seen one this fucked up. And because apparently it had seized so hard that the friction, I don't know, just fucking screwed it up. So the part's so bad that because apparently they take them out, they rebuild them, and they resell them or whatever, and they're like, we can't do damn thing with this. Apparently, anytime you go to a shop, everybody talks like a hick. So that's my little hick talk anyway. And then what else happened? Oh, I had to this was interesting. This is a great story. So I don't know. It's like 6 years ago, 7 years ago, maybe 7 years ago. Yeah, because I was out of warranty, the 36,000 mile thing. So maybe it was 4 years into it, which would have been, 7 years ago, 6 years ago. Let's go 6 years ago, just because that's, we'll make it even. So my clutch started going. I could feel it, and because it happened in the Miata where you get in there one day, you push down the clutch, and wham, he goes all the way down to the floor with no resistance whatsoever. So, I knew that it was my slave or master cylinder, the hydraulics, the thing that actually pushes the clutch apart. And I knew it was going, so I was like, shit, okay. So you get more fluid, because there's a hole in the system, and the fluid leaks out, and without fluid, and the pedal doesn't give you any resistance, it just hits the floor right away. So, when that happens, you have to put some more fluid in there, and then you got to pump the pedal until you start feeling resistance, and then obviously the clutch will still work. See, I knew enough about cars to be a little dangerous, but I don't know enough about cars to actually do my own fixing. So I was doing that for a little while, and I needed to get it needed to get it fixed, and so I drove it to Acura, and I said, I think I need my slave or master cylinder replaced or something like that. I'm having them. So they took it, and they're like, "Yeah, we'll look at it." And they come back, and they're like, "Oh God, you need a whole new clutch." I mean, it's just it's not looking good. So it's going to be I can't remember what they quoted me. I think it was $2,600 for a new clutch and a new master slave cylinder as well, because that was the actual problem. But they told me I needed a new clutch because the clutch was in such bad shape. I'm like, no, fuck you. I can't afford a clutch. I can't do it. So why don't we just do the slave master cylinder? Because that's what I'd like done. And the service guy's like, well, we can change out your slave master cylinder, but you're just gonna be back here in a month because that clutch is gonna go. And if we have everything apart, we might as well change out the clutch. I'm like, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna go, and I'm just gonna go get another opinion somewhere else because I'm pretty sure that there's not a whole lot of money to be made in new car sales. I mean, you can really only sell it for so much, and the money is made in the service center. It's selling you shit you don't need, and I think that's pretty much any service center and the actual car manufacturer ones are the worst because they have the most overhead. They have the idiots that actually go to the Acura place for an oil change and whatever. So I was like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm not doing this. So I went to like an Amco or something like that, just some chain place, or I don't remember where it was exactly. And I said, hey, can you look at this and just let me know if it's just the master slave that I need? And they said, yep, that's exactly what you need. And I think it was $480 was the total for me to get that fixed. And that was at least 6 years ago and at least 80,000 miles ago. And I am still on the same clutch. I have not replaced the clutch. That clutch has 160,000 miles on it, and it's showing no signs of slipping, no signs of going. So, fuck you, Acura. I love your car. I hate your service center. I hate your dealership. Ooh, I can hear a truck go by. It's a good microphone. All right. So that's that. So it needed a new slave master cylinder. And what's interesting is that was less than half the life of the car. So I'm wondering if any day now I'm going to need another one. Not really sure. What is interesting though is it being a front wheel drive car is that after 11 years and 160,000 miles, I don't need new CV joints because that was something that was huge in the 80s and 90s. It's like when you had a front wheel drive car, you could get maybe 4 years out of it, and then you would need, 5 years. You would need new CV joints because they would go all the time, and or the boots or whatever. You would need new boots because the boots would wear out. So maybe they're using some new space age materials to make those new boots to make sure they don't wear out and leak fluid all over the place. Oh, speaking of fluid, so another thing that the car needed was oil, apparently. There was a week where I had to travel to Atlanta and back, and then I had to go to Miami, and then I had to go to not Fort Lauderdale, but St. Augustine. Wait, is that right? St. Petersburg. St. Petersburg. Excuse me, St. Petersburg. So in one week, I put on like 1,500 miles. What's funny is when I went to Miami, and if you recall, that was the middle trip, down in Miami, it was making this weird noise. The car was making a really weird noise, and the girl, Angel, I had to move her down there. She heard it too, and we remarked, oh, that's strange, interesting noise. But so I dropped her off in Miami, I came back, and then I heard it every once in a while when I was at slow speeds, but highway speeds, I couldn't hear it because I'm stupid and then whatever. So what happened was I decided to take it into this service station, this service place. It's called the Magic Mechanic, and I would listen. They have a radio show on Sundays, I guess Saturdays or Sundays. And I used to catch part of that show every once in a while when I would go to my Subway Sunday for football. And I trusted them just because I had listened to their show enough, and he was really knowledgeable. They were really knowledgeable about problems and stuff like that. So I just decided, yeah, I'll take it in, whatever. So I take it in, and what I want to know is if the car is going, if it's going to need something major, or if it's just something simple and minor that we can fix. And if it's something major, get it back on the road and make sure it's going to run for a little while, because then I would get a new car. Because that's my plan, at that time I had had it for going on 11 years, and at least a 10 years, and I think that's a long time to have a car. So could have had a new car, but anyway. So they come back to me and they're like, "So when was the last time you got the oil changed on this?" And I'm like, "Ah, I know, I'm way past due, but I had been pushing it to 5,000 miles, 6,000 miles, 7,000, 10,000 miles between changes, and I know that's not good for a car. You're supposed to get at least, 5,000 miles anyway." So the thing is, I had been running that car with about 1 quart of oil in it, and it takes 5-ish. So almost no oil in it. And that's what that noise was. It was the actual pistons banging around in there because there was no oil. And apparently I had driven about 500 miles with that in that way. Oh, there's my toilet going again, son of a bitch. That's something I should probably fix, and I've got the time to do it. I'm just lazy and I'm not doing it, but whatever. So about once an hour it goes. Very annoying. And so we did an oil flush. And then we did an oil fill with their special AMSOIL oil. Apparently, it's a full synthetic and it's really cool and it's supposed to be really good. And it's a little expensive, but fuck it, I don't care. I'm a big dig millionaire, as some other radio podcast might label me. Although I'm not, because I'm supposed to pay for that show and I don't. I'm going to. I want to, because I want to support them. I really like them. They're funny guys. I'll tell them. I'll say it's the Mediocre Time with Tom and Dan. I mean, they're funny, very, very funny. I think they used to be funnier, but now they're so worried about actually having a show where they have guests and structure and all that crap. And I'm doing it real style. I'm going back old school where you just started talking, talk, and then whatever comes up, it comes up. And I know it's not very funny right now, but that's just because I don't have anybody to bounce stuff off of. I don't have a. I think it'd be a lot funnier if I had somebody else to kind of try and make laugh, and then that person could make me laugh too. So, what I'm going to try to do is, I think I'm going to take this. Okay, I might get back to the car. I might not. We'll see. In 2 weeks, I go to LA, and I'm going to take this thing, and I'm staying with my girlfriend slash ex-girlfriend, and I'm not really sure what she is right now because we haven't really completely broken. Well, we have. See, I don't know. It's hard. We've broken up, but it's a situation where she doesn't really want to be broken up, and I can't really think of a really great reason to not talk to her. She's a nice person. I love her. We've been dating for 2.5 years, and she lives out in LA. And anyway, I'm going out and moving, not moving. I'm going out there in 2 weeks, because I do some work when I'm out there. She has some video projects for me, and a friend of hers, she wants to do some pictures and stuff like that. And hey, I do pictures. I can take photographs anyway. So, yeah, I'm going out there for almost a week, and so I'm going to take the microphone and I'm going to try to do a show with her. Show. Listen to me. This is not a show. This is a stream of consciousness. This is random thoughts anyway. So I'm still, that's what I'm going to try to do. I'm just going to try to, I'll set the microphone up in, whoa, stomach, hold on there. All right, so the microphone's on my chest again, and that's probably a I'm probably gonna have to not do that from now on, just because ooh, I might just set it up on that stupid little tripod thing that I have with the little package. So that might sound better. So yeah, anyway, that's I'm gonna try to have her so that we can sort of bounce some things back and forth, and maybe it'll be funny, maybe it'll be uncomfortably weird. Who knows? We'll see. And there might even be an opportunity where I'll sit down with her and her friend Christina, and we'll maybe all three of us talk and see if maybe that'll be funnier, less funny or whatever, and we'll just go for a little while and see how it goes. So I think that might be more interesting. Oh no. All right, so that was my yawn. That's not because I'm tired, it's just because I don't have any oxygen in my brain. Apparently I've become pretty sloth-like, and yeah, I don't require food, but I eat too much, so I'm gonna get fat. Anyway, okay, so I'm way off subject here. I was talking about how little my car has needed over the last 11 years, 160,000 miles. So it was the air conditioner, the window motor, the CD player, which I was not able to fix just because I didn't feel like replacing it because it was too fucking expensive. And then the master slave cylinder, and a couple of batteries, and just, but that's, and tires and brake pads, but that's all shit that you have to replace anyway, no matter what car you have. There's no way that you're gonna get it unless you have those awesome ceramic brakes from Porsche or Ferrari or whatever. You're just gonna, you have to replace those things. So luckily I'm smart enough to be able to figure out how to replace my own brake pad, so that's nice. Speaking of brake pads, so I think I'm on my third set. I think I'm on my third set of front brake pads. I've replaced them twice on my own, and that wasn't so bad. Maybe fourth. I'm not really sure. It doesn't really matter. Here's the point. I've never changed my back brakes, and they always say that 80% of your stopping power is in your front brakes. Well, it doesn't mean you're not using your brake pads in your back, in the back, because apparently I've used them up so bad that they are now grinding into my rotor. And that means I'm a shitty maintenance guy for my car because I've been doing that for about 6 months now. Anyway, on the way back from the beach yesterday after my shoot, I stopped by a little discount auto parts. I bought myself new brake pads and a rotor because I've been digging a groove in the one that I've got back there. It's pretty bad. It sounds horrific when I'm trying to stop. So that was my plan for today. Today I was going to do laundry, which I did. So there, kudos for me. I was going to finish a photo editing job, which I did. So I'm pretty happy about that. And then I was going to change my brake pads and my rotor. Yeah, except that didn't happen. Although what I did do, I swapped out one job for another. In my little studio here, I have different walls that I shoot against, and one of them had what looked like brick. It looked like brick, pretty convincing when you light it correctly, but it was time for the brick to come down. So the other day when I was doing maternity shoot, we wanted a white wall to shoot against, and I don't have a white wall in my house anymore, but I do under the brick. So I just decided, well, all right, I'll pull the brick right off the wall. So I ripped it off the wall, real man style, just Hulk smash. And yeah, because it was held on there, I think, with like six or eight tack nails or something like that. So I'm a big man. Anyway, so I decided, because it was in pretty bad shape, the actual wall underneath there, so I decided to paint. And I'm really good at painting a wall. Like, I can get that shit done without getting any mess. Not, I didn't even have to use tape or anything. You know, I just, you know, you pour. Look, I have painted rooms with girlfriends before, with friends, with, you know, and I've watched people paint, and good Lord, if they don't have a drop cloth and they don't have a respirator on and goggles and stuff like that, they're gonna die because they're gonna get paint everywhere. They're gonna ingest it somehow because they're so sloppy with the way they paint. I don't understand that. You know, it's like, look, pay attention to what you're doing. Don't go 40 miles an hour with the roller and you won't flick paint off of it. There's right ways to do things and there's wrong ways to do things, and I can't stand it when people do things the wrong way. So speaking of that, I'll just segue into this past weekend. What did I do this past weekend? Well, I shot a movie, and it was about a 20, 25 minute movie. At least there was 23 pages of dialogue, of script, which usually translates into minutes of film. And yeah, so over 2 days, it was interesting because the shoot was supposed to be 3 days, but we shot in 2 days because I'm efficient. We shot a movie, and it was a pretty interesting group of people that all got together. Some very fine actors, one not so much, but yeah, so I was the cinematographer, director of photography on the film, and probably be just because I had the equipment. And I imagine that if they knew somebody with a Red or access to a Red, they probably would have used them, because I don't consider myself all that good a videographer yet. I think I'm decent. I think I know what I'm doing, but I just don't have the ability. I don't have, well, I don't have the experience to light a scene properly, especially for a particular mood. I can light the fuck out of a pretty girl on a bed. I can do that, no problem. What I can't do very well is light something that's going to be moving. It's difficult for me at this point. So, yeah, so that's what happened this weekend. I was working with a director who had never directed really anything before, and this was her first project, and she was pretty great to work with. I'll say that she had her shit together, she was organized, but whoa, she wanted shots of everything. And I guess I just don't necessarily work that way. And I should, because of the last couple of projects that I worked on, I had really wished that I had twice, three times, four times as much footage so that I would be able to cut it together better. But of course I didn't. So on this production, I guess she's gonna have way more footage than she's ever gonna need. And the only reason why she doesn't have twice as much as that is because a couple times I said, well, really? Like, how long do you think this particular scene is? I mean, if the scene is only 15 seconds, you can't have 28 minutes of footage to cram into 15 seconds. It's not gonna, you got too many options and there's too much that you're gonna have to be able to cut it together and stuff like that. So we only came to argument a couple of times over the weekend. But honestly, I had a pretty good experience. I was not necessarily looking forward to it when I stepped into it, but by the end, I was really, really happy. I was happy that I did it. I met some pretty great actors and pretty great people, and had a good time. And I'm sorry about moving the microphone again. Just have to hold it, so. Let me make sure I'm recording here. Where am I at here? I'm at 35 minutes. Okay. No problem. That's pretty good. Okay. I'll cut all that out. All that noise out. All right. So what else can I talk about now? Okay. Here's where I'm pissed. I'm pissed off at Orlando because tomorrow I have been working with this makeup artist and he's also a body painter. He's very good. I've been wanting to work with a body painter for a long time because there were a couple of very talented ones in Orlando and one of them, Herblish, wait, no, not Herblish. Herblish is still here. Oh God, I can't remember his name. Pashur. Okay. There was a very good one in the Central Florida area named Pashur, and he has since moved out to California, I guess, LA. Anyway, I wanted to work with him for a long time, but he was way too good. And he didn't just do, you know, trade work. He had plenty in his portfolio. He didn't need anybody to take pictures of his stuff because he had, you know, a line of photographers. Then there was, oh God, there's another guy locally. I can't remember his name either. It might come to me. And kind of wanted to work with him, and he basically just quoted me rates. And, you know, if you're going to be a dick, fine, be a dick. I don't really care. Anyway, Juan Pantoja, he was put in contact with me from Maureen, who is the mother of Josh, who is the boyfriend of Lissandra, who came to me, who swallowed the fly and then perhaps she'll die, you know, ate the dog that chased the cat, chased the rat, ate the fly, spider, whatever. It doesn't matter. Here's the point. After about six people of Chain Gang, I got hooked up with Juan Pantoja, and he is fantastic. He's actually a pretty cool guy, too. And anyway, so he's been wanting to do these full body paints. And we did one with Angel, and then we did a sugar skull with Emily, and I can't remember if we did another face, a fancy face or not. I can't recall. But, so, God, am I long-winded. I'm sorry, folks, if you're actually listening to this, and I apologize if you are, because, ugh, these first ones are going to be just boring. Anyway, so, Juan wanted to do a body paint for today, and Friday, whatever, it's later today. After sleep. And so he had a bodybuilder and then he had an Indian woman, Indian girl, and he was going to do two paints in a day. And I'm like, okay, great. Okay, so one of them is going to be some fantasy type shoot with the bodybuilder. And that's going to be cool because I like muscles and all that stuff. And then the other one was going to be this really high glossy glam shoot that he was gonna do her up in a lingerie, in a painted on lingerie. So we find out in the beginning of the week that the Indian girl had to pull out. She like just bailed or something like that. So I'm thinking, okay, so I've got four days to find a girl who looks like a lingerie model and probably has big boobs and or fake boobs because they have to sit pretty high on the chest so that, you know, they look like they're being supported by this painted on stuff. So I'm like, oh my gosh, this should be awesome because, you know, they saw the pictures of Angel and the pictures were amazing. I mean, she looked incredible. It was a great job. And people are like, I mean, I know people who want to do this. So I'm like, I put it out there and I had a couple of people say they would like to, but they couldn't because they had other things going on. Okay, that's great, fine. And then I had my girl number one commit. Girl number one committed, and she's a great body. I've shot with her many times before. I'm not going to identify who she is, but because it's not fair to her because it wasn't really fair, but whatever. So she's all about it, and yes, she'll do it, so all she has to do is check with her work or something like that, and she's going to get back to me in the morning. So morning comes, and she gets back to me. Or actually, she didn't get back to me. I had to find her and track her down, and she's like, oh, no, I can't do it. I just work something, blah, 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 and I don't remember exactly what it was, but she couldn't do it. So I was like, ah, shit. Okay, well, you would have been perfect, but I understand, work is work. Then a very unlikely person said that she would do it, and she was crazy excited to do it. And it's interesting because something recently happened in her life which changed some things about her, and now she's always kind of wanted to be a little bit wilder, and now this is kind of an opportunity for her to be wilder, and now she's able to, so she really wanted to do it. And then the very next day, she was like, oh no, I have this other commitment. I don't understand why I didn't think of it, but I can't do it. So now we're down to 2 days for me to find a girl to do this. And I'm going through I've got a pretty long list of girls that I can reach out to who would fit this job. And, you know, they would either not be available, or they really want to do it, and maybe they're just not right for, they're not right type of body. So I got really, really depressed and down about this, about how, you know, I feel like I do a lot of things for a lot of people. I feel like I do a lot of favors, and it bothers me when I reach out one time and I say, hey, I really need somebody to do this, and I can't get anybody to do it. It just bugs me because maybe I think I'm too deserving. You know, maybe this is a huge deal that I just don't really accept or understand why it's such a big deal. And I guess it is a big deal, but so we're still going to paint tomorrow. We're still going to paint the bodybuilder, and maybe I'll be able to get a hold of her before the paint goes on for a couple of shots, but we'll see. Anyway, long story short, I don't have a second model for tomorrow for a different paint, and I think we're going to try to do it again next Thursday, which might cut into another shoot that I've got going on, but we'll see. I think that's in the evening. Yeah, so this is the exciting part of the talking where I'm now trying to think about my schedule for the next week, because you really care about what's going on with me next week. Anyway. So it's a bummer that I'm going to be in LA for Father's Day, and I didn't realize that until, I think it was this morning. I didn't realize that until then. And I like Father's Day because my dad usually likes to get together on Father's Day, and it's usually a beach type situation, which is something I don't do near enough of. I don't see my parents nearly enough, so I may need to go see them this weekend because I'm not going to be around for, or maybe next weekend, I'm not going to be around for Father's Day, which kind of sucks. I guess I'll have to wait until Thanksgiving to see them. Seems weird that we only get together on those very few times a year, but anyway. What else has been irritating me this week? Fat people always irritate me, but that's just a thing. All right, let's see. I should probably call it right about now, because I think if I'm going to get to a point where I'm like reaching for things to talk about, if I have long stretches of no talking, then that's probably when I'm supposed to stop it. So I guess I'm out for now. I can't think of anything. I'm not going to talk about stupid shit that I argue with strangers on the internet. I'm not going to talk about other situations in my life right now that I'm trying to choose. Maybe I can talk about this one thing. So people, I think, people get what they deserve. It's kind of a reap what you sow type situation. There's a girl that I know for years now, and she actually lives up in the D.C. area. I think it's D.C. She's going to school up there. She used to go to school in Tennessee, but I think she switched now, but whatever. So I know her from a couple years ago, a project I did, and she has family that lives over in Daytona, so she comes back every once in a while. So I like her. She's a nice person. She's got a great body. And I've shot her before. And so she just had another bad boyfriend situation. And I can understand, you know, you're upset, and I can understand that you feel hurt, and I can understand that you have bad luck with boys, but her attitude toward things kind of dictate that process. Like, she's not, how do I explain this without sounding like a dick? Maybe I can't. Yeah, I really can't. I'm not going to either, because I don't think I want to sound like a dick at this point. I just think that people get in life what they choose to get. And I don't think I explained that properly, but like, okay, if you constantly are getting shit on, it's really because you're allowing yourself to get shit on. And if you are getting generally what you want out of life, that's because you're demanding it. That's because you are not settling for less than that. So I think those people that are really successful are successful for a reason. Not because they're lucky, and not because they're overly skilled, but because they don't accept anything less. And then those people who are getting just the shit end of the stick, and they seem like they're always behind the eight ball, and they're always kind of behind on the rent or whatever. And that's just because they're allowing that life to happen to them. I think I'm somewhere in the middle. You know, I think I'm an extremely lucky person as far as how karma works. I think that with me being so nice that I am, and look, I am nice, right? Because these pictures that I took out of Daytona Beach, they're some pretty fucking awesome pictures. So I trucked my ass out to Daytona at 9 in the morning to take these awesome pictures. And of course, they were late, 45 minutes, because I don't know why people don't take things as seriously as I do. Whatever. It's next Sunday. Yeah, so here's more into my life of, what I'm doing. So next Sunday, I got to go back down to St. Petersburg. But that's cool, because I get to hang out with this girl, Brittany, and Chelsea, and they're always kind of fun to hang out with. Yeah, so, look, here's my advice. If you want something bad enough, just do it. Don't wait for it to come to you and stuff like that. Oh, here's something cool to talk about, and this will bring it right back to the car. I have stock in my old company, and it's TriQuint now, but it used to be Sawtek. But TriQuint merged with them or bought them, whatever. And the stock has not been doing very well for the last 2 years. Yeah, not real well at all, because at one time it was up near 12, and it has fallen down to 4, and I don't know if it was down to 3, but it's been in the 4s for the last year. And all of a sudden, in the last couple of months, it's shot up into the 7s now. And this car that I want, it's the Veloster from Hyundai. The nicest one I can get is like $22,000. And if I can get $8 out of the share, there's my $22,000. So I've always looked at that stock as sort of like a savings plan, that on the day that my car craps out and dies, or the day that I decide that I really need a new car, I'm going to cash that in and purchase a car with it. It would be great. I mean, it would be really nice if all of the car could be paid for by that stock, because I don't think there's anything worse on this planet than having a car payment. I haven't had one in, Jesus, 15 years, probably. Yeah, probably 15 years, because I bought the Miata right out, flat out or right out, and then I bought the Acura right out. So I've not had a car payment for 15 years, and it's nice not to have a car payment. I don't want to have a car payment, and if I don't have to have one, I don't want to have one. So hopefully by the time I'm ready, by the time that car finally dies, and I mean, let's be realistic. It's 160,000 miles, and you know, although I drive it like Grandma Moses, I don't think it's gonna have. I mean, it might have 40,000 miles more in it, which would be ridiculous, because I think it's gonna take me. Shit. It would probably take me 4 more years to get 40,000 miles on that car, because I really don't. I don't drive that as much anymore. It's not like I have to drive to Sanford every day to go to work, or worse, it was DeLand when I was going every day. That was 45. I can't remember what I calculated it as. 48 miles a day, I think I was putting on that car. I think more, maybe. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. But now, you know, if I'm putting 10 miles on it a day, that's a lot. So, you know, there's days that I just don't go anywhere. Like today, I didn't leave the house. But yesterday, you know, yesterday I put on over 100 miles. So shut up. Fuck you. You know, it works. Leave me alone. Okay, so I might not even keep this little stream of consciousness, because I don't really believe it was an interesting stream. I think it was boring. So maybe next one I'll have something more interesting to talk about. And yeah, so this is me, Greg. I'm going to sign off now, and I'm going to go to bed at a decent hour so I can get up tomorrow and do nothing again all day, except maybe shoot some pretty girl. We'll see. All right, so sayonara, good night.